You brought your wife and family here because you wanted them to see and meet us? I'll have you get with the pastor's wife afterwards so you know who to forget, because there's quite a few of us that you need to forget quickly. I just, nice work. I love it. The title of the message tonight, Brother John, is I Just Did Not See the Pit. I Just Did Not See the Pit. We're going to read quickly Hosea chapter 4 if we'll all stand together. Hosea chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we'll read 6 verses. The Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I do not take standing in this pulpit lightly, but Lord, this world needs truth. Amen. This world needs the truth that you've given to us. This world needs truth that you've preserved and inspired for us. I'm so thankful that Brother Money is here tonight. Lord, I believe he is a great propagator of the truth. Lord, please help to bless his ministry in a special way and his family that's with him tonight. Lord, give them safe passage home. And Lord, I'm so thankful that they were able to stop. Lord, be with us tonight in a special way, always my prayer. Let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything tonight. We need to hear from you, not me. Lord, help me. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a parent in here tonight, or you don't even have to be a parent for that matter, but I'm sure somewhere along the line you have seen something coming, you've known it was going to happen, and in slow motion you watched that thing happen, realizing that it was going to happen, and it still seems to happen. I'll give you a case in point. You watch your child set a drink on the edge of the table. You know what's going to happen. You see the elbow of the child go to the drink, and before you can utter the words, "Please don't spill the drink," it's halfway down towards the floor. And it's always going towards white carpet, or it's going towards ceramic tile, so the glass breaks and stuff is everywhere. See, things happen, and a lot of times we're able to see things coming, and we try to teach our kids, at least if you're good parents, which I believe you are, you try to teach your kids truths, knowledgeable truths that will keep them out of trouble. Amen? Amen? My mom and dad, they tried to teach me things that would keep me out of trouble. I ignored the vast majority of them, and I got into a lot of trouble when I was a kid. They tried to teach me things that would help me to get through life. They tried to teach me things, and when they did, I would always think to myself, and kids are always guilty of this, I tried to think to myself, my parents just aren't with it. My parents just don't understand that this is a new day and age. We don't have to listen to what they say anymore. We don't have to listen to the things that they say anymore, because to be honest with you, my parents are old and they just don't understand what's going on in the world today. The reason that your parents know more than you is because they did the same thing you did when you were a kid. They ignored their mom and dad telling them to, and because they did that, they went through the very things that you are ineptly going to go through, because you will ignore them also. Because of those things, we start to lose a grip on what the truth really is. Please stay with me. we come to a place where the truth that was set up here as you should be good and you honor your father and mother and do all these things and have a certain fear of your father and mother, as we get generations down the road, that becomes a little grade. It becomes a little point where you don't really care that much about fearing mom and dad anymore. You drive a bus in Windham, it doesn't take you 25 minutes to get to a home that's been destroyed through divorce. It doesn't take you five more minutes to find a home that only has mom in it or only has dad in it. It doesn't take you even longer than that to go to a place where the kids aren't here today. They're over at their other parents' house for the weekend. We live in a society today where divorces become commonplace. Things that go against God and things that are not supposed to be of God has become commonplace anymore. Preachers standing in the pulpit preaching against unrighteousness and preaching against sin now have become the old-time preachers. They've become the old men of God that really aren't up with the times now. They're not up with the Saddleback Church or the Crossroads Church. They haven't come into the new age where we surround everything with guitars and drum sets. They haven't come to the point anymore where they realize that singing should be 80% of the service and preaching should be 20%. They haven't come up with the times. Glory to God, I'm glad to be in a church where preaching is the focus, not just the side note. What happens through the ages, and I'm glad we've got an old preacher here. I mean, it's not a bad thing to be an old man. And I would never call him my old man. I never would. I believe that's disrespectful. But he is my preacher, and I'm glad he's got gray hair. He's my preacher, and I'm glad he's been through things that I have not yet been through. It would behoove me to listen to what my pastor has to say because he's been in the ministry for so long. Obviously, he's gone through things that I just have not gone through. And I'm the associate pastor. I haven't been in the big seat. He's in the big seat. I'm glad he's in the big seat. Amen? I just am frequently in the hot seat. He's always in the big seat. What happens is this. The truths that were so diligently passed to us have begun to fade. And the truths that we hold to now today, and I'm going to give you an example. It really, really got my fur standing up. I really had a hard time with this. When I saw on the History Channel, and the History Channel used to be one of my favorite channels. I used to love to watch some of the documentaries that they had on there and some of the things that they went through. But they've become so crazy anymore. They have literally, just the other day, I watched a little special on George Washington where they defiled that man. George Washington was a Christian, folks. Amen. The founding fathers of this country founded this country on God. It doesn't matter what document you turn to in the history books. Go to yaledocuments.com, and you will see the old Mayflower Compact, the documents that this country has found on. You'll find those, and what you'll find is God in every other sentence. But what's happened anymore today is the truths have become so great. The truths are still the truths, but to us, we've turned the lie into the truth. We've washed down what has been the truths of the past, and we've taken what we have today as lies and made them truth. Because anymore, what happens is the preachers, the old preachers, please hear me, the old preachers saw this coming, but the people that sat under the old preachers didn't see the pit. The old-time preachers like Brother Hiles, go back even further than my preacher. I thank God he rubbed shoulders with the old men. Amen. I've had the opportunity to rub shoulders with a few of them. But understand this, I'm 39 now. Oh, boy. Is this when you start to forget your age? Is this? I thank God I'm a fud dud.
Amen.
I thank God I want to cling to the old ways.
Yeah.
The old paths,
yes,
that made this country great.
Yeah,
I want to cling to the old ways, the old paths where God directed everything that happened, where God was important to the folks. I don't want to proclaim at the end of my life, man, how did I get here? Preacher, I just didn't see the pit. Yeah. There's a pit that lies ahead for the folks that don't hold on to what the truth is. Can I help you? The truth, my friends, never changes. It's always the truth. What we turn it into matters not. It is still the truth. Look at what it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. I know this is speaking to the children of Israel, but I believe the Gentiles ought to hear the word of the Lord too. Amen? Hear the word of the Lord. Why? Why? For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because of why? Because there is no truth. Now, our country may not be to this point yet, but I've got to believe that we're going down a road where there's a great pit that awaits us. A great pit that many people are going to fall into because we won't hold on to the truth because we think that the preachers that stand up in the pulpit today are just, boy, they're just getting red-faced and spitting and sweating for no reason anymore. It would be better for us in a lot of people's eyes, and not in this church. Please understand, this is, again, this is an ounce of prevention, but you've got to understand there's people out there that say, why fight? Why should we fight? There's no need to fight, brother. Let's just love each other and get along. It seems like the love of God is the only truth that they remember. Understanding that the love of God is just but one of the truths of God. The Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. I watched my daughter Tiffany several years back. She climbed up on top of the playhouse down in our basement. Our basement has a concrete floor with concrete on it. That's all that's there. She's on the top of the playhouse, and my daughter's like a little monkey. She's just jumping all over the place. And I walked down the basement steps. I said, honey, please get off of the playhouse, you're going to fall and you're going to hurt your head. And she says, oh, I won't fall, Daddy. I won't fall, Daddy. Well, what happened? She fell. The truth was her daddy said, hey, look, you're going to fall and you're going to hurt yourself. The truth was the concrete is hard. The truth was the drop's about a 4 foot at her. The truth is she's only about 3 foot tall. She's going to hit something on the floor. It's going to hurt her. Me being dad didn't want her to get hurt. Amen? Amen. Do you know God doesn't want you to get hurt? He sees what's coming. He sees us being on top of the playhouse. He sees us being on top of the playhouse where there, if you fall off, there's no truth. If you fall off, you're going to bust your head. If you fall off, it's going to hurt. And he sees us. He sees us playing around with the word of God like it's nothing. He sees us playing around with the things of God like they're worthless trifles. He sees us playing around and mocking him all the time that we spend worrying about impressing each other, all the time that we worry about the mutual admiration society and saying how great it is that everybody's here and I'm thankful that you're here, but glory to God, it's your job as a Christian to go to church. I was thankful to get an award for being in the buses today. But I wouldn't give you a rock dime for a preacher that wouldn't get himself involved in the bus ministry. Amen. Well, you can say what you want to say. Brother, it's just not for me. The bus ministry takes a special person. How would you know? You've never been in it. What bothers me is this. We desperately desire to get close to God. At least I do. But are we willing to find out what it's like to be close to him? Listen, my dad, when I got in trouble, I didn't really want to be close to him. How about you? Hey, listen, when I got in trouble and I heard my dad come in the door, I was under the bed because I knew I was going to get whooped. We constantly stay away from God because in our hearts, listen to me, you've got to listen to me here. In our hearts, we know that there's things in our lives that maybe aren't so good. So we run from God because we don't really want to get close to him. The question you have to ask yourself, do you want to get close to God knowing the situation that you're in?
Listen, these preachers get up here and they preach their heads off because they want you to get close to God no matter what situation you're in. Because no matter, I grew up, and as in growing up, the more I realized that my dad loved me, the more I realized that when I was getting in trouble, it was because my dad didn't want me to fall off the house. My dad didn't want me to get hurt. My dad wanted me to do what was right because it was good for my life, not because it was bad. And listen to me, he saw what was coming ahead of me, that pit. He saw the pit that was ahead of me. He desperately, please, son, don't go that way. Please, son, don't go down that road, because if you go down that road, it's nothing but hurt. That is the truth, and you couldn't change it. No matter how you try to change it, no matter how you try to fix it, the truth is, guess what, Bob Shell? The truth is the truth. You can't avoid the truth. It stays the truth, no matter what. The truth is, you go drink alcohol, it's not going to be good for you. That's the truth. Can't get away from it. That's the truth. You may try to change the truth and drink like a lot of it to forget that it was a problem. Still a problem. Doesn't change the truth. The truth is always there. Here's another truth. If there's no truth in your land with the scriptures, if you're messing around with the scriptures and you fool around with that truth, the truth is still there. God's scriptures are true. But if you don't have them any longer, guess what you don't have? You don't have the truth. See, we come to a point in our lives where we've got to seek out the truth. The Bible says to buy the truth and sell it not. You know what? You want me to tell you why? Hey, listen to this, preacher. Remember when Jerry Cross said, buy land, because they just ain't making it anymore? Buy truth. Buy truth. Because there's only one. Amen. Buy truth. Buy truth. Because there's only one. I didn't see the pit. And because there was no truth, the inhabitants of the land, the Lord had a great controversy because there was no truth. There was no mercy. There was no knowledge. Listen to me now. No knowledge of God in the land. Could you imagine what America would be without the knowledge of God? Can you imagine what you would be if you did not know God? I'm not talking about a knowledge of Him, like His name is spelled J-E-S-U-S. I'm talking about, do you know the ways of God? Do you know the ways of the thing that He wants done? Or do you know the ways? What happens is this. We had the truth way back here of what we should be, what we ought to do, what we ought not to do. But as it's come down through the ages, God is not over here. God is still over there. But we live in this way right now. And because we live in this way, we don't see the pit coming. But they saw the pit coming. And they tried to warn us of the pit coming. But we now have hold the truth over here. This is not the truth. This over here is the lie. God is still over there in the truth. Well, we didn't see the pit, brother. Oh, they tried to warn you of the pit. They tried to warn you of what was coming. They tried to warn you. Listen what these people did. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. We are a bloody nation today. Therefore shall the land mourn. And the land's mourning right now. You can say glory to God. You can say what you want to say. But this land is in mourning right now. This land is in mourning because we know not God. This land is in mourning because we desperately say we know Him. The people say, oh, all across America, these new churches are coming up that won't put a name on their banner. I get the biggest kick out of that. They won't even call themselves Methodist. Yet they're Methodist, but they won't put Methodist on the billboard. We're just a church. Just please come on out to church. That's all we want you to do is come on out to church. We'll worship the Lord and love Him together. Have the preacher come up there in a turtleneck and flip-flops. That's right. Thinking that that's all right to preach. Have 15 minutes of talking to the people, sitting in a chair. And all the while, people say, well, we're knowing God. We're so close to Him here. Can't you see the tears of the people? Yeah. The tears of the people should be tears of mourning. Because the land is mourning, for they know not God. The mercy that they're preaching is not the mercy of God. The knowledge that they're preaching is not the knowledge of God. The swearing and lying and killing and stealing, that's the God they know. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Let no man strive nor approve another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Preachers look forward to that, by the way. We would love to have an open fight. Preachers would rather have you come in and say, well, there's no blood atonement. Let's go. Preachers will fight over that. Well, the King James Bible is not the pure word of God. We'll fight over that. If preachers are real preachers, they'll fight over that. That's where we hold the truth. That's the only truth we've got. We've got to fight for the truth that we have. So if you're a preacher, you're going to fight for that word of God. I got to believe that Dale Money's given his life to making sure that foreign lands get the word of God. Amen. To me, there's no greater goal than to get the word of God, the truth, into every land. I bet you he doesn't propagate the NIV to different countries. If you do, sir, there's a door right there, brother. And I'd like to put your money behind right out it if that's what you're doing. Therefore, shalt thou fall. Listen to me. No knowledge, no mercy, no love. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because they didn't have it, mind you, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I always find it amazing, preacher. I'm a King James Bible nut. Yeah. Not nuts. I'm probably certifiable. Amen. In many ways, but this is one of them. It always amazes me what rises up in a man to argue over scriptures. Yeah. And listen to me. It rises up in us because we know we have the truth. We know we have this truth. This is truth right here. Laying in this book is the truth. We know we have it. I can understand us arguing. What I can't understand is a fellow that doesn't believe any of them are right, arguing that this one is wrong. He should be over there saying, oh, it doesn't really matter which one you have. But no, this one, you zealot, is wrong. Mine is wrong, but yours is wrong. And it's wronger than the rest. When you start to lose truth. Hey, listen. The devil knows. The devil knows how to destroy God's people. Yes. He knows how to destroy God's people by removing truth. Yes. See, we couple mercy with tolerance. Hold it now. Hold it now. We couple mercy with tolerance. God is not pleased with being mocked. He has mercy on us, but he still hates the mocking. He has mercy and love for us, but he still hates the sin. Why must we as preachers have mercy through toleration? Why do you want to handcuff your pastor, handcuff your associate pastor? Don't ever preach about queers. I'll never come back. Go. Because that's sin, brother. I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. And God wants you to have mercy on them. Try to lead them to Christ. But glory to God, don't let them come in here and start getting married over it. That's not mercy. That's tolerance. I didn't even have that plan. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a pit that's coming. I was in Giant Eagle. And I saw what I think was two ladies. Tough to tell. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not trying to make funny there, although it is sad. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to tell you. I could not tell, but it looked to me like two gals. And they were kissing in the store. Dude, macaroni noodles just aren't that exciting to me, you know? I'm not going to go kiss my wife in a grocery aisle. That's my wife. You know what's sad? They believe God's happy with that. Why? Why? Because they don't have truth. They don't have truth. If it was up to them, they'd remove the book of Romans right out of the Bible. Can I explain something to you? You have the truth. What's great is it's something that you can stand on and you don't have to be ashamed of standing on it.
Because in the end, what is it going to be? The truth. You stand on lies, eventually, what's going to happen? You're going to fall because they're lies.
My people are being destroyed because they lack wisdom. My people are being destroyed because they don't care anymore. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. What we're in for here is this, and I'm thankful that my preacher has fought through all these years, and I know I dote on him. He's my dad. Like it or lump it, I don't care what you say. He's a good man. He's my dad. Here's what's funny. I love this. This is funny to me. And this is a side note, IGA coupon. This is great. What's funny about this is, why are family members always ashamed of talking up about their family members? Why? If you can't talk highly of your family, who in the world are you going to talk highly of? Think about that for a minute. What's sad is, why can't you be proud of your kids? Why? Well, I would say something nice about my kids, but then the people are going to think I'm showing my children off. So what? Hey, listen, he's my dad. He's a great preacher. I'm proud that he's my dad. If you don't like me talking great about him, amen. Don't get the tape. But I like him being my dad. I like him being my pastor. He's the old man, and I want him to be that old man that holds on to the truths and pass them down to a little whippersnapper like me. Amen. I want to be holding on to the truth. Hey, listen, there's going to be a day when he's off the scene, and when he goes off the scene, I don't want to fail. Amen. I want the truth. I've got to have it. Amen. And I'm thankful without compromise. I've preached 16 years. I believe without compromise I've preached for 16 years. And I'm not going to compromise as long as I take breath. I'm going to stand on that old King James Bible and preach you the truth. Amen. This world, though, doesn't like that. This world would rather have no truth and hold truth in that no truth. They would rather hold truth in the fact that everything will be all right. We will commit abortion and call it research. By the way, I had Brother John look up on the internet, and he said CNN reported, and you can't trust anything that they say anyhow, but they said that they truly did take the Bibles out of the soldiers' hands in Afghanistan. They burned them. Let me tell you why. And I tell you another thing that burns my biscuits, buddy. They took the Word of God out of their hands not because they were reading it. Brother Dale, they took it out of their hands because they were giving it to the Afghani people. You're going to start a riot by handing out the Word of God. What? Yeah, a riot of people praising God? A riot of people getting saved? A riot of people seeing truth? I'd like to be part of that riot. Amen. You know what might happen? You know what might happen, Brother Dale, if the Afghani people get a hold of Bibles? You know what might happen, Brother Mark, if the Afghanistan people get Bibles? Peace! We don't want that. The liberals want the war to end. Quit burning the Bibles. Amen. Hand out the Word of God, because in that truth, people shall be made free. Amen. We're dumb. This will make the conservatives happy. Let's burn them. How would it be if we could set up a bearing precious seed factory right in the middle of Iraq? Propagate the gospel to those people. They desire freedom from tyranny. Wouldn't it be great if we get a freedom from sin? Freedom from hell. We've missed it. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
The preacher saw this coming. Billy Sunday preached this country into prohibition. Do you think prohibition would even be thought of today? No, toleration is thought of today. It's okay to drink and sell alcohol. It's okay. It's not okay. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. If we hold the scripture to be true, the scripture can lead us to truth. If we don't hold the scripture as true, we're going to be led to lies. You can't slice it any other way. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Well, this evening started out fun until this message came along. Everybody's laughing, having a great time.
Then you had to start preaching.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him." You have to grip where Paul was coming from when he said this. All the things that I had, that includes what he knew. He held truths that were not truths. When he was a Pharisee, the religion that he believed in, that what he thought was true, was not true. He held it to be truth, but it was not true. Then Christ came. The Word opened up to him, and he desired to know that truth. You save people, you ought to be in this Bible every day wanting to know truth. You ought to, and what's sad is, preacher, if everyone would be honest, in their heart they know right and wrong. Your heart tells you right and wrong. Your heart tells you that even the morons named it pro-choice. The other side is pro-life. What's the choice then? If one side's life and the other side's choice, there's got to be a choice. What's the choice? Death. Duh. We hold the lie to be truth. That's not what God wants. God wants us to hold the truth as truth, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Why? So that you can give somebody else the truth. Hey, listen, if Jesus, knowing the truth, kept it to himself, what would it have done for us? But because he knows the truth, and because you have a pastor that's not afraid to preach the truth, people walk out all the time. I had a fellow that walked out on me. Glory to God. He walked out because he was offended. And I don't really care why, but he was offended. I was preaching truth. That's all. Just preaching truth. And that truth bothered him so much that he had to leave. Why? Why should we be so afraid of the truth? Why should we be running away from the truth? Why is that? Because we know we're in trouble. We know that that truth does not match up with how we live. We know that that truth does not match up with what we have in our inside of our hearts. And we realize that we've got to get inside the scripture, even inside this church. We're not immune to this. We've got to get inside the scripture and find out what the truth really is. I love people all the time to come up with phrases that the Bible says that really aren't in the Bible. It happens all the time. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's in the Bible. Nope. Not in there. Good saying, though. I think we all should be cleaner. Brother Mark, I used to tell the choir before cantatas, a shower is a requirement the day of. Deodorant, a requirement. Little perfume is good, is a requirement. Because there were some people that were going up there stinky. It's a truth. You stink when you don't wash yourself. It's true.
Turn to Matthew chapter 7.
The people that laughed the hardest were the stinkiest. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. I want you to look at this, but I want you to think of this a little bit different. You've heard this a lot of times, I guarantee you, but I want you to think about this a little bit differently. The Bible says in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are as ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." What's happened to us, though, preacher, is we've gotten to a point where we don't know what's good fruit and we don't know what's corrupt fruit anymore.
Let me say that again. You ever walk through the woods and you see something, boy, it looks good to eat. But if you'd bite down on it, you'd go to the hospital as quickly as you could get there because it'd be poison. There are people out there that in our eyes coming away from the truths that are over here. The truths now. See, we look at these men that fill these football stadiums with people and we believe that and deem that to be fruitful. It is fruitful. Is it good fruit? On this side, these men passed it down. Don't forget the old past. Don't forget the old past. That's the good way. That's where you should stay. Then you'll be a good success. Stay with the old past. Yeah. Amen. We walk over here. But you won't have anybody sitting in your pews. Stay with the old music. Stay with the old stuff. Stay with Jesus Christ. Stay with my Bible. Stay with the Word of God. Amen. But your offering plates won't have any money in them. That was the truth. There's wisdom in the gray-headed. There's wisdom in the old folks. Don't let loose of my word. Learn from them. Don't be afraid to learn from them. Stay humble. I'm getting tired. Let's walk with God. Let me show you how. Let's have more music. Let's get our souls stirred more. Let's get our hearts to be embracing Him more. Let's get ticklish with what the Word of God is. Let's just bring in any word. Whatever you've got, we want you to come in. We just want to love you. It doesn't matter how you come. You hear that and you'll say, "Well, that doesn't sound too bad, Brother Dave." But over here is the tolerance. Over here is the old paths. Over here, they will echo, "Please come. We want you just as you are." But the Bible says, "Behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." New in Him. What happened, though? Brother Bob, we have lost the ability to judge that what is good fruit and that which is a corrupt fruit. We've lost the ability to discern that which is right. We've lost the ability to discern because we don't look into the discerning book. Preacher, we fell because we didn't see the pit. But if you were never taught, and I'm all done, if you were never taught what a pit is, how are you going to avoid it? We didn't see the pit, preacher. You didn't see it. And I'm not talking about this church. Glory to God. We've got great preaching here.
Amen.
But there's folks out there that are producing corrupt fruit. It's fruit, but it's corrupt. It can't be good fruit. If they don't have the right Bible in the pulpit, it's corrupt fruit.
Amen.
If you've got more music than preaching, it's corrupt fruit.
Yeah, I agree.
If you've got more FaceTime with a preacher on TV talking about the love of God and not of sin, it's corrupt fruit. But we've lost the ability to discern what that is because we did not have God in our knowledge. We did not remember who He is. We did not remember what He stands for. We did not remember that we are the ones with the truth. We've got to propagate the truth.
Yep.
We've got to be the one that says, no, it is wrong to do the things that you do. But God still loves you, even though you do the things that you do, that you should change. Oh, wretched man that I am. I've talked about that with you with Paul. I love Paul. But Paul was still holding on to God's truth, saying, I know I'm a wretched man, but I still go forward for God.
Amen.
That I might attain, that I might go for that high mark, that I might get that prize, the high calling of Jesus Christ. I might do those things, but we don't want to do that anymore. I don't have a high calling. Hogwash, you got a high calling to go tell people about Christ.
Amen.
Hogwash, you got a high calling to go propagate His gospel. Hogwash, you got a priority in your life that you should be telling people about Jesus Christ and getting the truth to them.
Amen.
If you don't, they won't know what the pit looks like. We are a nation filled with pits, and people don't recognize that they're going to fall. No, Daddy. I'll be all right. I won't fall off this house and bust my head. I won't do it, Dad. What happened? I saw the pit coming. She didn't recognize the danger, and she fell. I promise you she recognizes the danger now. And I promise you she's not going to fall again if she can help it, unless she's dumb. Hey, listen, fall into a concrete floor twice, shame on you. Might have to be taken away. For years and years and years, preachers have tried to pass down the truths of God. And we can't be satisfied. We can't be satisfied, and I'll show you why. In verse 20, it says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. In the next verse, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, please hear, this is the scariest verses in my whole, in all the Bible, I believe this is the scariest verses you'll ever read. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? What they believed was wonderful, the fruit that they made, that corrupt fruit that they had no truth. The corrupt fruit over here where we say, well, they must be doing a good work. Look at how many people they have. That means nothing to success.
Amen.
Holding the truth.
Wait.
Holding the truth. That's going to give you success. Being able to know what's corrupt fruit and what's incorrupt fruit, that's going to give you success. In that day. When the people say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, I preached in the name of Jesus, not my Jesus. Lord, I did great. I cast out devils in your name. You didn't cast out devils. You had people come forward and walk in wheelchairs that could already walk. You didn't cast out no devils in my name. I know you by your works, you charlatan. I know who you are. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Look at my church. Jesus, look at the church that I built for you. Look at the church. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Brother Dave, are you telling me that there's only one way to get to heaven.
Yep.
No. The Bible's telling you that.
Amen.
The Bible's telling you that there's going to be people that go to the throne, and those people are going to say, Lord, Lord. And they're going to be turned away because they were not able to discern what was corrupt fruit and what was good fruit. They saw that which they thought was right, and it was not. Because they did not hold. The people were destroyed, preacher, because they did not have the knowledge of God. You older folks, you've been blessed to grow up in an age where the truths of God were commonplace. We young people are relying on you. Please listen to me. Brother Carl, don't ever leave the scene.
Amen.
Brother Bud, don't ever leave the scene.
Yes.
Because we need the truths that you have.
Right.
We need the truths that you men have that are locked in the heart that you saw with your eyes and heard with your ears and the life that you've lived and the walk that you've walked. We need to be able to see that today.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you right now, we're living in a nation where the young folks think that they know what's right and they don't know. They know what's good fruit, but it's really corrupt. And I don't need my generation going up to the Lord someday and saying, Lord, Lord, and Him saying, depart from me. I never knew you.
Right.
You'd love to get that out of the Bible. God is love. There's love. And there's tolerance. And God's not going to tolerate you not knowing Him.
Right.
The way that He wants you to know Him. Not the way you think you should know Him. Now, this may not be popular preaching, but please understand this. We live in a corrupt world, and it's getting more corrupt every day. You've got to hold on to truth. This little boy's counting on it. Stand up. You see this little boy, Brother Carl? You see this little boy? Do you see this little boy, Brother Bud? Bobby, do you see this little boy? Eddie, do you see this little boy right here? Listen to me, son. There's wisdom in the gray-headed. There's wisdom in the gray-headed. There's wisdom in the gray-headed. There's wisdom in the gray... Well, not so much him. There's wisdom in the gray-headed right there. Understand this. Understand this. The young folk, by and large, have nothing to offer. You've got to seek out God. And to do that, you've got to follow the old paths. Hey, young guys might be good to look at. Case in point. We went back to having fun again, Brother Dave. Good job. All right. But I'd rather have, boy, hear this and I'm all done. I'd rather have a snot-nosed, spitting, screaming, red-faced, fired-up, spirit-filled preacher than any of these young snots that look good.
Amen.
Because in the old paths, there's the right ways. Preacher, I didn't see the pit. That's because you didn't know what it looked like. If you listen to the preacher, I'll tell you what the pits are. You listen to the preacher, I'll tell you where the pitfalls of life are. If you listen to the preacher, I'll show you that what's coming in your life that if you don't avoid, you're going to get hurt. I'll show you because I love you and I care about you and I don't want you to fall off the house. Will you ignore the old paths? In Hosea, it said they had no knowledge because they rejected the knowledge. Not because it wasn't available, because they rejected it. Take the old paths. Because the old paths will steer you around those pits.
Yes.
The old paths. Follow that Bible.
Amen.
Follow that King James Bible.
Yes.
Don't you let any punk kid tell you that that Bible's anything less than what it really is. The pure, inspired, perfect, infallible, and errant, perfect Word of God. Don't you let some punk kid tell you different.
Amen.
Follow the old men. The old men said that's the Word of God. I'll just trust that.
Amen.
Served us for almost 400 years. We're going to bow out on it now? I don't think so.
Amen.
I didn't see the pit preacher. The preacher did.
Listen to him. He'll help steer you around in the pits. And he's going to steer you right into the Word of God.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, please, I'm begging you, as a 39-year-old preacher, and I'm not an apologetic preacher. Lord, as a 39-year-old preacher, don't ever let the new ways get into my heart. As a 39-year-old young man, I want to always preach the truth. I want to always preach the old paths. I don't want to bring a bunch of newfangled, new Athenian stuff into these people's hearts.
Amen.
Lord, don't ever let that get into my heart. Lord, please keep me in a state of humility at all times, looking into your word for all things. Keep me into a place, Lord, where I'm always seeking you. Keep me into a place, Lord, where I'm always praying to you. Because, Lord, the people that I preach to, I want them to be able to know you. I want them to have the knowledge of you and your ways. And Lord, I can't have that unless I know you. And I know your ways. And Lord, I desperately want to know your ways. I desperately want to hold on to the old ways and the old paths. Because Lord, you've been around for an eternity. And you know what the pits look like. Lord, please help me to see them. Lord, help me to help the people see them. Help Christians to see them. Lord, please help America see them. Because there's pits coming. And Lord, I would to God we could steer this nation around them. Lord, would there be one more revival left in America? Because we need revival. Revival means bringing back to life. Lord, this nation needs to be brought back to life. This nation needs to be brought back to a place where men have tears. Where men have tears when they see their flag being folded. When men have tears when they see their nation going into corrupt. When men have tears and remembrances of things that this nation has been through. Lord, help us to seek you in a special way. Help us to never forget what you've given us. And help us to hold on to the old paths. For in them are the right ways that we may have good success. Lord, help us. Help us today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you could do it right now. How many could say, preacher, I'm positive that I've put my faith in Christ, and I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. Amen. Thank you. May put them down. Looked like every hand went up. Maybe I didn't see everybody. If you're hearing, you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. We're going to stand and sing a verse. If there's anything that you want to come and pray about, maybe you haven't been taking a stand. Maybe you've been giving ear to the non-fruitful, the ones that left the old paths. You want to get back to the old paths. Heavenly Father, help us to cling to those old paths. I really pray for these younger ones. I know as the time goes by, it's just going to get worse. I pray these young people will embrace the truth that they get in this church, and they'll never sell it. They'll buy the truth, and they'll never sell it. They'll keep it precious and dear, an ornament around their neck forever. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page, John Mark?